and our minds. The Lord Jesus is in the house, and he desires our praise today. Come on, put your hands together and join our choir and orchestra as we give him praise. Church, you know this. Sing it with us.
Come all ye weary, come all ye thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of
Let's worship Him today.
Thank You for Your love, God. So bring all Your failures, bring Your addictions, and come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms.
Open arms.
For God so loved the world that He gave us His one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in Him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well. I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved, God so loved the world.
Sing it, ladies. Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. From whom all blessings flow.
Lift your praises.
Praise Him.
Church family, we are so excited to continue in worship this morning. We have five that are coming to be baptized. First, we have Jake Buckner. Jake, are you following Christ in baptism because you've trusted Him as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Because of your testimony of faith in Christ and in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is always so special. We have a mother and a daughter coming together. This is Jan Dubell. Jan, are you following Christ in baptism because you've trusted Him as your personal Savior?
Yes, I am.
Because of your testimony of faith in Christ and in obedience to our Lord's command, it's my privilege to baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is Jan's daughter, Nadia Dubell. Nadia, are you following Christ in baptism because you've trusted Him as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Because of your testimony of faith in Christ and in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Good job, Nadia. Good job. Good job. And this is my friend Victor Gonzalez. Victor, are you following Christ in baptism because you've trusted Him as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
Because of your testimony of faith in Christ and in obedience to our Lord's command, it's my privilege to baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good job, brother. Good job. And this is Hudson McGuire. Hudson, are you following Christ in baptism because you've trusted Him as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
Because your testimony of faith in Christ
and in obedience to our Lord's command, it's my privilege to baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life.
Oh yeah, that never ever gets old, seeing life change. Welcome to Prestonwood today. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Oh, I better ask you again. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Look around, you're not alone. There's a lot of brothers and sisters in this place today. We are so glad that you've chosen to worship with us. If you are our guest today, we especially want to welcome you, and you picked a great weekend to be here. Pastor Scott Turner is in the house bringing a message for us today. We're so grateful. And it's so good to have our choir and orchestra releasing brand new music today. Choir and orchestra is in the house today. We're so thankful for them and their ministry. But we're especially grateful that you've joined us. So we want to have a record of your visit. Please let us know that you're here today. And go to Guest Central as you leave today. We have a gift we want to give you, one of Dr. Graham's books. And we would love to come alongside you and your family, answer any questions that you might have about the ministries at Prestonwood. We are here to serve you, and we are just one big family. And to all those joining us online all around the world, more than 40 nations join us every single weekend. We especially welcome you right here from Plano. And to all our servicemen and women and our first responders, we say welcome and thank you for worshiping with us all around the world. We thank you for your service and your sacrifice. It's going to be a great day in God's house. You can go ahead and have a seat. And as I said, the choir and orchestra and the entire worship and media team have been working. This project was started just prior to the lockdowns happened, and we worked all through in remote ways and every way that we possibly could to get everything recorded. And today, we're releasing some of this new music because it's just the heart cry and the hope of our team and our church at Prestonwood. And I want to take us, before this next brand new song, I want to take us to the scriptures. Isaiah chapter 53, you know this passage well. Verse 4 says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Romans 5:8 says, "God showed his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The cross is the center of the gospel message. Jesus came, lived a perfect, sinless life, and humbled himself and laid his life down so that we could have hope for all eternity, so that we could be forgiven of our sin. There is power in the cross. There is hope in the cross. There is healing in the cross. And ultimately, there is eternal beauty in the cross. Let's continue to worship.
Something supernatural happens when we gather in worship as the family of God. When we come and we sing and we pray and we look to God's word, we do it in a sense of community, a sense of family. And the scriptures tell us that when we gather and we bring a grateful heart in worship, that the Spirit of God, the presence of Almighty God comes and He dwells in, He delights in our praise. In Psalm 115, the psalmist says, "Not to us, O Lord, but to your name be the glory, honor, and power forever and ever." That is the heart cry of Prestonwood. That Jesus would be the very center of our worship. And our worship is not just our songs, it goes far beyond that. It goes to the lives that we live in adoration and service and surrender. Our worship goes into our giving when we bring our tithes and offerings to the church so that ministry goes out. It is a part of our worship. When we give our time and our talents, say, "God, you have given me the ability to do this and to do that. I'm going to bring it to you as a thankful offering of worship." That is what we do. Not to us, O Lord. The journey of worship, it's really about idol crushing. So many times we try to fashion different idols to satisfy the longings of our hearts, and we bow down to lesser things, maybe to a bank account or achievement or the approval of men. Whatever it may we be on the journey of worship that says, "Not to us, O Lord, not to our desires, not to the things that we think should be worshiped, but to you, O Lord, be glory and honor forever. You are the only one who is worthy of worship." Our team got together this last year to just voice the heart cry of the people of what we went through for the last 12 to 18 months, to begin to capture the prayers and the songs of what we were hearing, of people going through, and to know that God was faithful in the middle of it all. And to celebrate that with song is just a gift beyond words. So this new project of choir and orchestra is simply a reflection of the heartbeat of our church, not to us, Lord, but to your name be glory and honor.
what an incredible experience of worship we're having together as our Prestonwood Choir and Orchestra, our team, is introducing this brand new music. I'm so excited about this, and I know you are experiencing together today just the presence of the Lord, because the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. You know, that great song, that anthem comes right out of the scripture, Psalm 115 and verse 1. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to Your name. To Your name goes all of the glory for Your steadfast love and faithfulness. And God is faithful to all of us. I'm actually in Southern California, if you cannot tell, and missing being there with you. I'm here speaking at a men's conference and also a pastor's conference this past weekend. But I'm just celebrating with you what God has done in these days already. Did you know that we have baptized nearly 300 people in the last couple of weeks? We've seen so many people coming to faith in Christ. We're coming off Adventure Week, our vacation Bible school, and I want to say thank you to all of our volunteers and all of our staff who work so hard, and even backing up to our student camp, just all the sponsors, everyone who's pulling in. Our summer schedule is spectacular, really. We're seeing so many things, and so much is yet to come. So thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your giving. You're about to hear a message from Scott Turner, associate pastor at Prestonwood. And of course, we love Scott, and we're looking forward to hearing this message. And I'm praying right now for the delivery of God's word under the anointing of God's Holy Spirit. Let me just say that this is a time to celebrate family. Summertime is a time to celebrate your family and our church family. And there is a special celebration that I want to mention today, a shout out to Harvey and Shirley Letcher, who are celebrating 60 years of marriage. This is quite an achievement, of course, and Harvey and Shirley have been members of our church for over 30 years, and Harvey's been on our staff for 20 years, serving in a great way. And so I just thought, what a great day when we're celebrating this summer and celebrating all the good things. We're going to be celebrating America next week. I'll be back in the pulpit next week preaching on July the 4th. But the fact is that we are celebrating life. We're celebrating the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. So to the Letchers, congratulations. And to all of you, may we celebrate what God is doing in our lives. And remember what we just heard from our choir, our great choir and orchestra. And that is, not to us, not to us, but to Your name we give glory.
Amen. How's everybody? So good to see you this morning. Now I can really see you. Well, let's give God a shout of praise for our orchestra and our band. We know that during this time, we all went through such a traumatic time in a global pandemic, national crisis, but we see that God can still move on the heart of His people if you seek after Him. Michael said 18 months they labored, and we thank God for their obedience and their labor, and I thank God for you. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for these Your children. Lord, we honor You today for allowing us this opportunity to be before You. We bless You. We glorify You. Father, we move out of the way. We say, have Your way, Holy Spirit. Speak a word to our hearts today, Lord God, that we may grow in You. And Father, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice. Father, those that are live and those that are watching online, that You would move powerfully in the life of the individual and their family. And Father God, that You would be glorified in our fellowship today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome to everyone here and everyone watching online. Again, my name is Scott Turner, and I serve as associate pastor here. And I wanted to mention and make sure that we keep those families in Miami in our prayers this morning as a body, and praying for that devastation that happened, and that God would be glorified, and that a peace that surpasses all understanding would cover them. Amen. Well, I want to look in the Bible today at a man named Bartimaeus. Y'all heard of him? We don't hear very much about him, but Bartimaeus was the son of Timaeus. He was blind, he was an outcast, and he was a beggar sitting on the side of the road in Jericho. But through our study of the scripture this morning, I'm hopeful that we'll learn of Bartimaeus' tremendous faith, his courage, and his fortitude. You can find him in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. And if you want to begin to turn to Mark, chapter 10, starting in verse 46. And to give us some context here, the Gospel of Mark is the shortest in length of the Gospels, but it is a fascinating depiction of the scripture in our Bible. And much of what you find in Mark is also written in the Gospels of Luke and Matthew. But in Mark, we see Jesus more in a role of a servant. And we see it showcasing his supernatural actions and the miracles of Christ. It's written almost like a motion picture, scene by scene, showing Jesus always on the move, emphasizing the immediacy and the importance of the work to be done. He was headed to the cross. The resurrection was coming. Jesus was about action. And for those of us that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a great reminder for us, a great challenge for us to also have a sense of urgency and to be driven to win the lost for Christ and to fulfill the call of God in our life, action-oriented, that we'll see in the book of Mark. But leading up to chapter 10 of Mark, we see a few things. We see John the Baptist preaching the gospel and preparing the way. We see him baptizing Jesus in the Jordan River, and the earthly ministry of Jesus now is beginning. Jesus called his disciples. He healed the sick. He tells the great parables of the Bible. He preaches in Galilee. He appoints the 12 apostles. John the Baptist is beheaded. Jesus calms the storm of the raging sea and says, "Peace, be still." He walks on water. He feeds the 5,000. He's transfigured on the mountain right before James, Peter, and John. He foretells his death and his resurrection three different times. Jesus is action-packed. The book of Mark is action-packed. Jesus is fulfilling the call of God and the mission and the ministry for which he came. Amen? Mark 10, pick up in verse 46. It says this, "And they came to Jericho, and he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd. Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take heart, get up, he is calling you.' And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabbi, let me recover my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way." Jesus and his disciples, as we see, were leaving Jericho. Again, he was on the move. They were on their way out. A great crowd was surrounding them. And you can imagine the chaos and the noise if you have a picture in your mind. And verse 47 says that when Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus, he cried out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was there. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us this, but as I study this and I'm thinking about this, I wonder, it doesn't seem that Bartimaeus had any kind of warning that Jesus and his disciples were coming to Jericho. It's almost like when you know your favorite band is coming and the concert is coming, you have anticipation of the date, the venue, you get your family ready, you get your money ready, and all of these things. Bartimaeus just heard right then that Jesus was in the house, and he sprang to action. And I wrote myself a note right here. We need to live as Jesus is right here. We all know that Jesus shall return again, but are we living like Jesus is right here with us today in this present moment? The Bible says, keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Don't have to get ready, stay ready. Are y'all with me? Are you ready for Jesus to return? Are you ready, and are you living like Jesus is here with us today? A couple observations. Bartimaeus was blind. He indeed had limitations, but he didn't let that stop him. He could not see, but what he could do was speak. What he could do was shout. Remember now, there's a great crowd around. It's noisy, it's chaotic. Surely Bartimaeus couldn't just get to Jesus. He couldn't just reach out and touch him. He definitely couldn't see where he was. But all he needed to know is that Jesus was there. He was there. So he cried out in the midst of the chaos, in spite of his limitations. Bartimaeus used what he had. Are you with me? He couldn't see him, but he heard he was there, and he spoke, and he shouted out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Look at me. I'm not much bigger than a lot of you in this church house today, but I play football. Pee-wee, junior high, high school, college, pros. 9 years in the NFL. I'm right at 5'10", right at it. Now, my wife will tell you that's not true, but it is. I'm in church. I'm not going to lie. Right at 5'10", right at 72 inches. When I went to the NFL, I was 172 pounds. That's it. I stopped growing in the eighth grade. I was going to be a linebacker, but the Lord said, no, you're not going to be a linebacker. Hey, but let me tell you something. I had the attitude of a linebacker. You hear me? Point. Little guy. But what did God give me? He gave me great speed to run like the wind. 4.2 seconds in the 40. And if you don't know, that's fast. I had limitations because I was vertically challenged. But what I did have was the ability to run. I was limited, but I was not stopped. I have flaws, but it didn't keep me. Are y'all with me? Oftentimes, we let our limitations define our expectations. I'm gonna say it again. Oftentimes, we let our limitations define our expectations. We think like this, well, because I don't come from a certain place, I'm not going to be able to achieve very much. Because I come from this family, I'm not going to be able to achieve what my friends who come from better families will achieve. Because I'm this or because I'm that, I will not be able to do this or that. Are y'all following me? We let our limitations define our expectations. But says who? God doesn't speak to you that way. The Bible doesn't teach us that way. Matter of fact, it says in Philippians 4:13, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what's happening in your life. You must have great expectations because you serve a great God. Amen. Amen. Have great expectations. Why? Because you serve a great God. Look at the people in the Bible. What about Moses? He couldn't even speak. But God used him to deliver the children of Israel out of the tyrannical hand of Pharaoh. And remember when they got to the Red Sea, what did he say? What is that in your hand? It's a staff. That was very limited. There were a lot of flaws facing him. But what happened? Touch that water and walk on dry ground. What's in your hand? What has God given you? Stop concentrating on your limitations and look at what God has blessed you with. Look at Gideon. Gideon was timid. He was in the threshing floor hiding. He was even doubtful when the angel of God called him. He still doubted. He was the least of his family. His family was the least of their tribe. But what did God do? He made him into a valiant warrior to lead 300 mighty men. What about Esther? She was a Jewish girl that God made a queen. She was married to a pagan king. And he did not summon her, but she went anyway and risked her life to save the life of her people. Thinking that she had limitations. The Apostle Paul had physical issues, deformities, if you will. But by God's grace, he went on missionary journeys, planting churches. He wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, and he was arguably the greatest Christian of all time. He was limited, but it didn't stop him. We cannot let those things keep us from doing what God has called us to do and striving and pressing forward toward the goal in our life. Bartimaeus was blind, but he was determined to see. How's your determination this morning? Two things. Number one, Bartimaeus knew exactly who Jesus was. He called him the son of David. And that shows us that even before he came in contact or in the presence of Jesus, he believed him to be the Messiah. We see this in the Gospel of Matthew, where Matthew used the term son of David to prove to the Jews that Jesus was indeed the coming Messiah. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, and you can look at it later, it speaks of the coming Messiah being out of the house or being a descendant of David, and that his kingdom would endure forever. Bartimaeus knew exactly who Jesus was. He had a personal conviction about the person and the deity of Jesus Christ. How about you? Do you know Jesus for yourself? You may be sitting in the pews this morning or watching online, and you've heard of him. You've heard pastors preach about him. You've heard people talk about him, but do you know him personally? Do you have a personal conviction of who Jesus is? Is he the Lord and he's the Savior of your life? And if he is, do you live like you know him? It's one thing to say, I know Jesus and I'm saved. But does your life indicate that you know exactly who Jesus is? Do the actions, the deeds, the words, the meditation of your heart, the motives of your being, does that portray you as being one that truly knows Jesus as your Savior? Bartimaeus not only knew who he was, he knew exactly what he was capable of doing in his life. When you look at the determination in which he cried out for Jesus, he knew that Jesus was well able to heal his body. He knew him, but he also knew of his capabilities. It's like our kids or our grandkids or your nephew like mine. Or your nieces, they not only know you, they know exactly what you can do for them. Ain't that right, Ron? That's why they ask you, Mommy. And it's oftentimes they go to Mama and not Daddy. Mama, can I do this? Ask your Daddy. So not only do they know you because you're their mother, their father, their grandfather, their grandmother, their aunt, or their uncle, not only do they know you, but they know what you're capable of doing for them in their life. And so they ask you, Jesus, Bartimaeus knew exactly who Jesus was. He knew exactly what Jesus was capable of doing in his life. And so he cried out all the more. He shouted out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And lastly, Bartimaeus was not going to let anything stop him from getting the attention of Jesus. I will submit to the church this morning and ask that we have the same kind of determination and faith and fortitude like Bartimaeus. Look at verse 48. It says, and many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. That term rebuke right there is It's a very strong word. The Oxford Dictionary defines rebuke like this: to express sharp disapproval or criticism of someone because of their behavior or their actions. To express sharp disapproval or criticism of someone because of their behavior or their actions. And you can imagine with me those that are around Bartimaeus treating him badly and being harsh with him, rebuking him. Really, the term there, and excuse me, say is shut up. Hush, be quiet. They tried to silence him. Now remember, Bartimaeus was already considered the low part of society, the bottom rung of the culture, and not deserving to touch Jesus, not deserving to be around Jesus, not deserving to be heard nor seen by him, but he shouted to Jesus anyway. And they rebuked him, but he didn't listen to the crowd. He didn't listen to the haters. He didn't listen to the agitators. No. Instead, what did he do? He cried out, and the Bible says, all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And I have this picture in my mind about blind Bartimaeus defying the odds, utilizing what God had given him, the capabilities and the senses that he did have. And when he shouted with great joy, desperation, and yes, expectation. He wasn't just practicing religion. He wasn't just playing church, if you will, or just saying these things and said, well, I'm just going to stay in my lane. No, Bartimaeus made a ruckus. He was hurting, y'all. He needed a healing. And we can learn a great lesson from Bartimaeus right here, and I hope that it encourages you. When you're in a critical situation, when you're right in the middle of the storms of life, when it seems like the wheels literally are coming off and the very foundation of your life is shaking, your finances, your marriage, your relationship, your job, your career, whatever it is, we don't have time to worry about what everybody else is saying or what everybody else is thinking, in particular if it's negative. We don't have time or any room for spiritual pride to stand in the way of your breakthrough, your healing, or your deliverance. You can't afford to be too cute or reserved, if you will, or too dignified and have a small thinking in your faith. Are y'all with me? A crisis is going on. The devil is real. The Bible says in John 10:10 that the enemy comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. Those are the purposes for which he comes. So guess what? Sometimes you have to let it all go. And don't worry about what people say. Don't worry about what people are thinking. Don't have any spiritual pride. Pride will keep you from your deliverance. Like Bartimaeus, we got to keep crying out. We got to keep shouting in faithful expectation. We got to keep our eyes stayed on Jesus, and don't let anything keep you or hinder you on your way to meeting the Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All the more, he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Look at verse 49. And it said that Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. Jesus stopped in his tracks. Remember, he's a man of action in the book of Mark. He stopped in his tracks and he said, call him to me. This showed me the love, the concern, and the care that Jesus had for Bartimaeus. Now, y'all know Jesus knew Bartimaeus was there. He's God. He was on his way out. He was moving. And the Bible says plainly, Jesus stopped. He'll stop for you. Are you calling out to him today? He cares for you. He loves you. He's concerned about you, just where you are. You might be blind, figuratively or literally. You might be in the struggle. You might be in the worst place you've ever been in your life. You may be crying out for healing from God. You may be crying out for your kids to come back to Jesus. You may be crying out for a new job, a new mate, whatever it is, Jesus will stop if you'll just cry out. There's nothing more important than you to your Savior in heaven. Amen. He stopped and he said, okay, call him and bring him to me. Something very interesting. The very people that were telling him, Bartimaeus, to be quiet and rebuking him are the same people that are now encouraging him to take heart. Hey, man, hey, get up. Jesus is calling you. See, now Bartimaeus is popular. He got a whole lot of new friends. But just one side note right here, and I wrote this in pen right here. Be careful who you hang with. You want to hang around people that are going to be with you during the good and the not so good. During the high times and the low times, not just when you're popular. Or not just when those that are in authority or rulership are calling your name. You want people to be around you when nobody is calling your name. Matter of fact, when other people are turning away from you, that's when you're going to find out who your true friends are. But we'll talk about that later. Every morning, every new day that God gives us the breath of life, Jesus is calling. The Holy Spirit of God is beckoning us to come meet with him, to come commune, if you will, with him, to be fed and nurtured and encouraged by him. He's calling. And as a result, we have to get up and get moving and be encouraged and excited about our time to meet with God. He's calling. But you got to get up. You got to get moving. You got to get off that couch of despair. Get out of that bed of discouragement. Get up off the floor of anxiety and bitterness and fear. The Holy Spirit is calling you right where you are. But you got to get up and be excited about it. No matter what's going on in my life, no matter the circumstances, no matter my flaws or my limitations, one thing I know, Jesus is calling. And I don't want to miss him. What about you? And notice this. Jesus used the very people that looked down upon Bartimaeus. The very people that tried to silence them. See, Jesus could have went to Bartimaeus by himself. He didn't really need them to bring Bartimaeus to him. But he used those very same people as a conduit to bring blind Bartimaeus to him that he may bless him. Are y'all with me? The very people that were dogging him out and looking down upon him and stepping over him, our Savior in heaven used them as a vehicle to bring that very man to him that he may fulfill his ministry. Jesus will do it. He'll do it in your life as well. And I believe Jesus taught them a lesson. Like it says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, verse 40, what you do unto the least of these, you do unto me. What you do unto the least of these, you do unto me. Be careful how we treat people. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and he came to Jesus. Our faith requires action. James 2:17 says that faith without works is dead. Bartimaeus threw off his cloak. He cast it aside, and his cloak was possibly the most valuable thing in his possession. A cloak back in the day was used as an outer garment. It was long down to the ankles. It was sleeveless. It could be used as a blanket. It could be used as a garment. It could be used as a tool. And the Bible says that Bartimaeus threw his cloak off of him. Oftentimes, a cloak could be used for the security of a loan, but you had to turn it back at night because that may have been the only blanket that your neighbor had, and so you had to return it. But Bartimaeus threw it off of him, as valuable as it was, and I believe this was an act of faith on Bartimaeus' part. He knew that Jesus was going to heal him. And so I ask you this morning, what do you need to throw off? What are you trusting in? What's keeping you from coming to Jesus? What do you find your security in? other than Christ? What's so valuable to you that you won't let it go and come to Jesus? We all have those things in our life that we like to cling to. That you say, if I don't have this, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Do you trust Jesus is the question. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us lay aside every weight and encumbrance that keeps us from coming to Jesus. He's calling. When Bartimaeus reached Jesus, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. Now, we don't know if Bartimaeus was blind from birth or he got blind on the way. But one thing we do know, he was blind right then and that he wanted to see. Bartimaeus did two things. Number one, he asked Jesus very specifically. He knew exactly what he wanted. And he asked Jesus specifically to recover his sight. As believers in the Lord Jesus, we too need to pray very specifically. It's up to God to answer in all of his sovereignty, to answer our prayers how he sees fit. But just like Jesus said, wouldn't you pray? Pray like this, our Father who art in heaven. Be specific in your prayers when you come to Christ. Bartimaeus also asked for the right thing. He didn't ask with a bad heart. Like the sons of Zebedee, James, and John. They asked Jesus, hey, Jesus said, hey, what do you want me to do for you? They said, put one on the right and one on the left when you go to glory. How many know they asked the wrong thing? Now you can go read it later, but it didn't turn out good for them. Bartimaeus asked in the right way, not out of a selfish heart, not of a self-exalting request. He asked the right way and Jesus granted it to him. In the last verse, verse 52, Jesus said, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And I believe that Bartimaeus' fortitude, his perseverance, and ultimately his faith glorified God and moved Jesus to action. Throughout this whole scene in Jericho, Bartimaeus was the least likely to succeed. He was the last one that they thought would stop Jesus in his tracks. But because Bartimaeus did not allow his limitations or his flaws to keep him, he didn't let the naysayers stop him. He heard that Christ was there, and Bartimaeus' faith moved him to act. He threw off whatever was hindering him. He asked for the right thing and very specifically. And we saw that God, that Jesus did a miracle in his life. But the story doesn't end there. When Bartimaeus received his healing and received his sight again, the Bible says that he followed Jesus on the way. He didn't just receive his blessing and turn away. He didn't just receive his miracle and become complacent and put Jesus on the back burner. He followed him on the way. We serve the same Jesus today. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The same Jesus that restored the sight of the blind man. He's still today moved by our faith. He's moved by our complete surrender to him. And as I close, I want to encourage you to take your faith, your personal faith in Christ, to a whole different level. It's going to require action. It's going to require total dedication. It's going to require surrender on your part. It's going to require you shining and shutting out all of the chatter and the worldly noise. And it is going to require sometimes for you to cry out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus is calling. Do you hear him today? Jesus is calling, church. Do you hear him? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And if you do, are you living as such? Don't let your limitations keep you. Don't let your flaws define or set your expectation in Jesus Christ. He's calling. He will stop whatever he's doing for his children. That includes you. All the more, cry out and he will hear you. Amen. Let's stand together. Lord, we thank you. Let's stand. We come to the time of our invitation. And if you want to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, today is your day. This is the day of God's favor. This is the day of salvation. We have pastors all around, down here in the front, on the balcony, in the mezzanine. If you want to have a relationship with Jesus, just come. Come forward. We're not going to embarrass you. We're going to love you. We're going to speak to you. We're going to talk to you. If you need help, somebody, I'll come get you if you need help. This is how important it is. Maybe you say, well, I'm already saved. I know Jesus, but I need a church home. Well, we welcome you. If you feel like God is calling you to be a member of Prestonwood, we welcome you to be a member and a worker and a servant leader in this church. Maybe you just want to pray and come to the altar. We have people to pray with you. If you want to go before God and cry out, the altar is open for you. Maybe you need to be baptized. We can do that too. Baptism, the outward expression of an inward change. Come forward today. This is your church. God is the CEO of Prestonwood. We're here to serve you, to honor him, and to love our neighbor. We're going to pray together. And if God is moving on your heart, I welcome you and invite you to come. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, for this time together. We love you. We praise you. We honor you. Lord God, we bless you. Lord, I pray that nothing would hinder anyone in this church from coming forward today as they feel the urging and the unction and the pull of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that nothing will keep us, Father. No devil in hell can keep or stop or hinder us, Father. This is your church. Holy Spirit, have your way. Lord, take off the chains of fear and anxiety. Father, I pray for deliverance and healing and restoration, Father, to be all over this place and in the life of the people in this service and watching today. We love you, God. We thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.